Hello and welcome to the Earth Trust podcast. I'm Verity Warne, Head of Communications at Earth Trust. Life on our planet depends on our natural resources and how we manage them. One such precious resource is soil, the living ecosystem that all Earth-dwelling life forms depend upon for survival. This autumn at Earth Trust, we are thanking the Earth beneath our feet and all it provides. Today, I'm talking to three of our volunteer gardeners who are helping to transform the spaces around our centre.
So who do we have sat around the table here?
That's Chris Greenough. I'm from Abingdon. Yeah. Do you want that sort of stuff?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And Julie?
I'm Julie. I'm from Wallingford. And
Alex from Didcot.
And how long have you all been volunteering at Earth Trust and helping out with the gardens here?
A long time. Because I belong to more than one group, you see. Mm-hmm. I used to belong to the Thursday group.
Right.
And then I decided I would change my activities to the gardening group when it started up.
So you've come closer to the centre.
So I've been, coming about a year now?
Yes.
To the gardening group. Yeah.
And Julie, how about you?
I've been part of the gardening group for about 18 months now. I think it was 18 months since the Earth Lab building was finished. That's when we came in.
And so the gardens here around Earth Lab, did they were essentially just empty beds when you arrived, or did you actually have to create the beds in the first place?
Well, we had to dig over the ground and define the beds. Yeah, it was just as the builders left it.
So a lot of work to be done.
A lot of rubble, very compacted by all the machinery. No life in the earth at all, was there?
There wasn't.
No worms, no...
It didn't look very hopeful to start with.
Which actually is interesting, isn't it? Because there is... Gardening is a hopeful activity in a way, isn't it? Because you're starting off on the premise that you are going to be able to make something grow.
Yeah. And every year is different because every year the conditions are different. It could be a dry year, a hot year, a wet year. And so different plants will react better or worse with the conditions. So it's always hope for the following year. It'll work next year to be better.
Well, actually, as you said, plants respond differently to different cycles. So you think this year has been a bad year because it's been very, very hot, no rain, but some things have actually blossomed and been brilliant. So our apples just amazing.
There's a real glut. In fact, actually, we had Good Food Oxford yesterday gleaning apples to use some of them. So
whereas, you know, it depends on, again, as you said, on the soil. Our raspberries basically said not playing
not playing this year
and just curled up.
Did they?
And we didn't have, well, we had about three in our
raspberries. Three very celebrated raspberries.
That was it.
So tell me a bit about your gardening background. Is it something that you have a professional background in, or just a strong interest? I know there's a mix here, I think, isn't there?
Definitely not professional, but I've been interested in gardening and plants for as long as I can remember. Which is quite a long time now.
And what was the fascination? Where do you think that fascination came from?
It's a way of being creative. It's interesting. You can plant a seed and hopefully get a plant. And it's good. It's good for your state of mind to do something positive and creative. It's fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Most of the time.
Well, I have certainly a very different slant. I'm the labourer. My partner is the gardener. So she does the design and I do the donkey work.
That sounds like a dream team.
Yes, absolutely. That's what you need.
Yeah, somebody with the creative vision and then somebody there to see it through.
And I enjoy the civil engineering of just making the garden to the design, to some design, you know, whim that happens. And I enjoy a lot of the repetitive tasks. So I quite like Zen gardening, raking gravel. And I don't mind weeding. I weed the path down our garden. It's lots of pebbles. And I just sit on the pebbles and I'll spend a couple of hours just working my way, shuffling up my bottom. Weeding. And that's fine. And as you said, contemplation hasn't, you know, meditation has nothing on it.
No. Well, you're meditating and doing. Yeah.
In a mindful way as well.
That's it. In mindful weeding.
It is lovely to spend time doing something and actually then be able to physically see the result of what you've done, isn't it? Whether that's a weedless path or a well-turned bed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what about you, Julie?
Mine's a more professional background. When my younger daughter started at nursery, I decided I wanted to do something that I could work around having children and timings and schools and half terms. So I went to college for 2 years and did a 1 year foundation in everything horticultural, from 6 weeks modules from botany through to grafting plants. And then I did a year's design course. So that was about 35 years ago.
Okay.
And gardeners are just lovely people. And we have such a nice time together. I mean, it's a beautiful place to be. And we chat and we laugh and we
Eat biscuits.
Now you're getting to the centre of it.
Gardeners are very generous and creative people who find great positivity in just being outside and sharing and nurturing, which is a lovely personality.
I've recently got an allotment as of March, and I've been I've loved gardening for a long time, but having an allotment is a whole different thing. But the generosity of other people to be just, you know, oh, they've got something left over and they'll just come and be like, do you want this, or just giving you advice in a way that's, I was nervous about not knowing what I was doing and whether I'd be doing it wrong, and you realize there isn't really a wrong way. Everyone has their different,
that's the whole point. It's almost impossible to do something totally fatal in the garden. Nature sorts it out. Nature will correct most of the errors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we are really focusing in this autumn at Earth Trust on the value of soils and recognising how important it is and what we can do to thank the earth by looking after it and valuing what comes out of it. So how do you know if you've got a good soil?
There are ways you can sort of just grab a hand and see what it's like. Now, our garden, although it's quite small, has a great difference between the top of it and the bottom of it in terms of its soil. At the top, it's full of gravel and sand, so it's all very, very loose, and you can pick it up and you say, oh, it's rubbish. And down the bottom, where it's under the trees, it's had lots of leaf mould on it and stuff like that. It's been there since the 1930s, so it's very, very rich. And it's, you can see it, it's rich, it's dark, it's nice to play with.
Malleable, almost.
But I think the important thing is that once you've sort of done that sort of analysis and say, oh, the top end is dry as bone, it's really horrible, there will be a plant that will grow in it.
And how do you find out which plants will do
well? That's the game. You can go to a garden centre and they will say, shade-loving plants, they'll say, well-drained soil, or in sunlight, or in shade. Or so you could go round and look at your garden and say, that's in shade most of the day, that's in sunlight all day. This soil is good. And you can go around. Yeah, I think you can go around the garden centre and do that.
Yeah, you can. The other important thing is to look around, walk around your neighbourhood and see which plants are thriving in other people's gardens. So you've got three main types of soil. You've got loam, which we're lucky enough to have predominantly in this area. You've got sandy soil, which is very free draining and tends to be a bit acid. And you've got clay, which, well, you can make someone with clay, which is very, very sticky, and there's no oxygen or air in the soil, and you work with what you have. But look around your local area, look at other people's gardens, go through the park, see what's doing well. That will give you a guide to which type of plants and whether you've got an acid soil or a non-acid soil.
So essentially, it's not about trying to, if you have a clay soil, you're not looking to transition it to a different type of soil. You're trying to make the most of the soil you have.
You can improve the soil that you have, but you can't change the basic structure. So if you have a very acid soil, don't try and grow plants that need a very alkaline soil. The same with if you have an alkaline soil, don't plant camellias and rhododendrons, because they won't thank you for it, they won't thrive. Mm. It's very much right plant, right place.
Mm.
We can improve the soil, absolutely. But we can't change the basic structure of it, or the acidity levels.
And are you also looking for, I've heard people say that a healthy soil is one that's got lots of life in it. So literally, you know, insects and worms and so on. Is that the case?
The soil is, yes, it's a living entity, and it's crucial for life itself, for human and animal nutrition. It's hundreds of millions of little organisms and bacteria and fungi, and they're all working. It's a whole world of its own, so it's absolutely essential to us and keeps us grounded on the earth itself, because where you have deserts you get massive amounts of erosion and everything blows away and changes shape, and we're lucky that we don't have that problem here. Although this year with the amount of wind we've had, there has been constant winds through spring and summer, which has been very damaging to the soil and to all our plants, especially our poor trees.
Mm. So for people at home, what would they do if they, as well as, so understanding what type of soil you have, choosing the right plants, and then how can you look after this soil and keep it healthy as you go forward in your gardening year?
Compost.
Starts in your kitchen.
Compost is the answer to every soil problem. Yeah. Compost, mulch.
Every vegetable that you use in your kitchen, you'll have parings. When you finish the meal, you'll have some, bound to have something left over. And as long as it's vegetable, it can go to a compost. And building a compost heap or buying a plastic one, or don't take up much space. Don't actually require masses of management.
And lots of people pay money to have their garden waste taken away, then they go down the garden centre and pay more money to buy it back in the form of compost. So you can short circuit that and create some good material to put in your garden. So instead of throwing away all your garden waste, put it in your compost.
It helps with water retention, it helps with nutrients, and why waste the cuttings and lawn clippings from your garden when you can basically put that back into the soil to improve it? It's, as Alex said, pay people to take it away. Yeah. There are certain things, there are probably two or three things I would put into a compost heap in a garden, which are the very pernicious weeds. So ground elder, bindweed, stinging nettles.
Well, you can put nettles in, but not the roots.
Not the roots.
Oh, yeah.
And as a general rule, you don't want to put seeds in, because they'll all come back.
We were talking before about what to do to still engage with soil, look after soil, if you don't have much space or a large garden. What are the options there?
Well, our garden is small. And we've got a small patio, and we've put quite a lot of pots on it. And just using pots, trying to use peat-free stuff, and even using proper soil that you've dug out of your garden if you've got any spare. It takes a little more management, because it's not being replenished in the same way as what might call gardened soil. Most of our flowers are in pots. All the prettiness is on the top.
And you can move it around.
And you can move it around.
And bring things closer when they're at their peak. Pots, window boxes, you can use all sorts of containers. The other thing we didn't mention was water. Rainwater and water butts. Really good to gather as much, collect as much rainwater as you can, and water your garden or your pots with rainwater, which is much better for plants than tap water. And again, it's a valuable asset that we don't want to waste. Very easy to attach some form of water. water bottle or plastic container to a shed roof or, you know, the house roof, and gather the water as much as you can. Don't let it go to waste.
So that's literally as simple as putting, as getting a large container and catching rain.
Catching the rain.
Yeah. It's probably worth mentioning that you can do things to make your compost better. The first thing is you want a nice mix of things. So you do want to put your grass cuttings in there, but compost made only with grass cuttings will be horrible.
Slimy.
Mix, they say, a mix of green and brown things. And newspaper, cardboard, egg cartons, anything like that. And mix it up. If you want to know, if you go to the RHS website and look for compost, it will tell you far more than you ever wanted to know about how to make compost. But it's really useful, really good.
I've seen some compost, you can get compost starter or like sort of granules. Is that worth doing or is that just a waste of time?
You don't need it. What you do need to do is keep it moist, keep turning it to mix it. And as Alex said, a good mix is essential. Things like leaves, when your leaves come down in the autumn, if you don't have room for a separate leaf composting area, bag your leaves up in black plastic bags. When they're wet, poke some holes in the plastic bag with a garden fork and just put them at the back of a shed or garage and use those as you put in your grass, because you, different times of year you get larger amounts of one type or another. So in the spring and autumn you'll have more hardwood, you'll have more brown substance which you chop up. In the summer you'll have more grass. So use the leaves, the half-rotted leaves, to mix in with the grass when you add it to the compost bin to keep that mix going.
Yeah.
And keep the heat in it. Just a bit of old carpet, some heavy-duty plastic on the top with a couple of bricks to weigh it down, and that will start to warm up. And that's the process of composting, is the heat. And if you're really lucky, you'll end up with slow worms nesting in there. They love a compost heap, and grass snakes.
Have we found any of those here?
No, not yet, but they will, they do come. They do come, and that's, you know, another benefit, because slow worms are absolutely beautiful.
Well, I was thinking we haven't actually mentioned what you do with your compost.
Good point.
You can plant, I mean, if you're going for pots, you can fill them with your compost, which is a lot cheaper, especially recently, than buying compost. You can dig it in around your garden, or you can just spread it as a mulch on the surface. And the use from that, the reason for doing that is it will help retain moisture in the soil.
So given and suppress weeds.
Mm. And given the way our climate appears to be changing, anything that keeps moisture in the soil is good.
That's very true.
Saves you work because you don't have to water so much.
And when do you do that? What time of year?
Autumn or spring. Well, any time you've got some compost, really.
It's when your compost is ready, and it's best to spread mulch when your soil is moist. If you mulch a border that's dry, it will keep the dryness in. It'll stay dry. So you really need moist conditions. When your soil is nice and moist, if your compost is ready, put it on.
How do you know your compost is ready?
When you can put a fork in and it's dark and it's crumbly, it doesn't smell, it's friable.
Is there anything we haven't talked about that you think we need to mention?
I wouldn't leave earth bare for long. If you look at nature, earth is not left bare. If you walk through woodland, you walk through fields, everything is carpeted with vegetation. And what happens with bare earth is it becomes compacted. It becomes more inert, it's not as healthy. So if you have an allotment, for example, or a patch of your garden that you're leaving bare for a while, sow a green manure, which are things like clovers and mustard. You can buy seed packets very, very easily. They fix nitrogen in the soil to improve the fertility of the soil, and you're not leaving the soil bare. And what you do with those is you sow it as a seed, you let it grow, and 2 or 3 weeks before you want to put plants in there or cultivate it, you just dig it in. You don't pull it out, you just dig it in, and that adds to the soil.
Ah, fantastic. And does that work as a weed suppressant as well, the green manure, or is that not so valuable for
not
that?
Not so much, but anything that, I mean, if you will find that when you turn soil, you create a seedbed, because the seeds that are dormant and lower down in the soil, when you turn it and dig it, you're bringing some of those seeds to the top, and then they go, light,
yeah.
I'm going to germinate.
Going to germinate.
Yes. Alex, the last word of wisdom?
Wisdom?
The alarm! That's not the sound of nature.
Go and tell the girls now that it's time for coffee break.
I'm Verity Warne, and you've been listening to the Earth Trust podcast. Thanks to our gardeners, Julie, Alex and Chris, for their tips this week.